Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hey everyone, it's Wendy. Thank you so much for joining me for another edition of Overcoming Your Emotional Eating. And today's podcast is going to be one that you can use in life or in food. I'm going to surround it around both, but it is a topic that we can absolutely all relate to, at least almost all the clients that I have been involved in their care with, and even multiple business owners could relate to this topic, as I can as well personally. The reality is what we know is shame can take us all down. And what it does is it takes us down a rabbit hole, right? Just like if you're scrolling, if you've ever had this experience, you're scrolling on a social media platform and you engage with content from one post, so to speak. Well, then you flip the screen and there's something else on the same topic, and you flip it and there's something else and something else and something else. Before you know it, 20, 30, 40 minutes has gone down and you've gone down a rabbit hole, right? Like Alice did, so to speak, in Alice in Wonderland. And what we know is the same thing happens in the brain with shame. We go down the shame rabbit hole, and we all have done it, unfortunately. And when you get down to the bottom, if you do, it's a little bit, or for some of us, sometimes a lot of it, the way up. You've got to get out of the shame spiral, but that can be one of the hardest things in the world. Today, I'm going to talk to you about what shame is, and more so about how to get out, whether that's shame around your body, your food, what you've eaten, what you haven't eaten, what you should have eaten, what you can eat, what you can't eat, or whether it's around something in life, what you did to someone, what you said to someone, where or what you've done, and maybe or maybe not how that's impacted somebody else. Brené Brown defines shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. I am bad. I am a mess. The focus is on self, not behavior, with the result that we feel alone. Shame is never known to lead us toward positive change. And this, in fact, is so true when I look at life, but also in particular when I look at food and weight and eating and the behavior patterns that can take place in our food. Overeating or eating outside of what we've put in our construct for the day will lead us down the shame spiral, but it never, ever helps us get better. Never helps us lose weight. Never helps reduce the inflammation, if that is what we're going for. Never helps us move in a positive way. And so the truth around that is that shame spiral doesn't serve a purpose. So why do we keep it around? It can start with something subtle, a little slip up in your diet, something you said you were going to eat or you weren't, said you were going to the gym when you didn't. That little slip up. Maybe you forget a commitment. Maybe you receive difficult feedback from somebody. That just actually happened this morning to me. So I can absolutely relate to this. Maybe someone's tone feels colder than usual to you, or maybe you just wake up feeling off. And almost without warning, you feel yourself slipping into a familiar pattern, an inward spiral that's hard to name and even harder to stop. I can so relate to what this is saying. This morning, I received some negative feedback from an old colleague, and it happens. Things happen. And I went there. I felt this happening to me. And what's so interesting always about these podcasts is I designed this podcast yesterday in a desire to record this morning when it's quiet. I like to record when it's dark out in the morning and quiet. And I didn't know that I was going to receive that feedback immediately. As soon as this individual said what they said regarding my professionalism and regarding about their feelings about it in something that happened in the past, I recognized how quickly I even went there. Shouldn't have asked, why did I do that? Should have just held it in and gone to safer people, right? All of the things, should have caught myself, right? But it is hard. It happens quick. Our mind can race. Our stomach can tighten. Our inner voice kicks in. You messed it up again. Why do you always do this? Everyone can see you are not good enough. Or maybe you just simply move to you're not good enough, or you're not smart enough, or I'm bad, or I don't deserve it. Right? Those phrases are all shame based. What you're experiencing in those moments isn't just emotion, it's a full body, sensory, full mind cascade. It's an event, a loop of reactivity that's often called the shame spiral. And when we jump in this ride, it's not fun, there's no joy in it. It feels heavy. It feels hard. It can feel sad. It can feel grief-like. It can make you feel angry. It can make you feel all kinds of emotions. And while it may feel like that evidence that something is wrong with you, the spiral is not just a sign of failure. It's a sign that a deeply embedded survival strategy is being activated. But what I love about this reframe is it's so helpful to understand that that's what's happening, right? This is a sign that a deeply embedded survival strategy is being activated. The shame spiral is actually a survival strategy. I want you to hear that because it's important. It's not really because you're weak, but it's because your body and your brain, your whole body system remembers. Let's explore how the shame spiral operates, what it protects, and how you can begin to stop and get out of its grip with gentleness and with clarity. So first, let's define a shame spiral. I know we all know what it feels like, but let's kind of break it down. At its core, the shame spiral is a feedback loop, one that moves through your thoughts, emotions, behaviors, and physiology. It's what happens when a small amount of discomfort hits a deep emotional nerve, and that sets off a chain reaction that becomes hard to interrupt. Like dominoes, right? You set up dominoes, you click the first one, and it goes boop, 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 boop. That's how I look at the brain when it comes to certain spirals or cycles we go into, the shame spiral being one of those. Here's what it might look like. You've got the trigger. Something small activates a vulnerable spot, a mistake. For me, it was a rejection this morning, a boundary that was crossed, or an unmet need. So you've got that trigger. Then we create the story. The shame floods in. Now, this is based on history. It's not based on what happens in the moment. But the shame will flood in. This is proof I'm not good enough. This is proof I always ruin things. This is proof I'm bad. This is proof I shouldn't use my voice. Whatever that is, that story floods in. It's an old story that gets triggered. Then there's the reaction. Your system tries to protect you through withdrawal, overfunctioning, defensiveness, or numbing. Why would we not, right? That reaction that we have realistically is a good survival mechanism because we feel so terrible. So we try to protect ourselves. So we want to withdraw, or we might overfunction, overwork that day, or overdo for other people, or reach out. We become defensive to other people, or maybe we numb. So in food, this can happen in the same eating event. So if you go, let's say you say you're not going to eat anything with sugar and you take a bite of something with sugar. Well, the shame spiral hits, begins, boom, boom, boom. You're hit the trigger, you got the story. The reaction is to numb. So you move further into overeating to numb the system. Get it? The aftershock. You feel disoriented, depleted, disconnected. And the voice returns to reinforce the story. See, I knew it. You always blew it. See, I knew it. You'll never lose that weight. See, I knew it. You should never really ask for what you need. And that then can also reignite the trigger. Each of these phases feeds the next. And because shame inherently makes us want to hide, the spiral often unfolds in silence. You may look fine on the outside while inside of you, everything contracts. Everything feels wrong. Everything hurts. Everything feels sad or angry or both. What's important to understand is that this pattern is not irrational. It's a learned pattern. And it's doing something really important. It's trying to protect you from being hurt again. That's the cool part about the shame spiral, is it gets this trigger creates this pathway, this pattern, and this aftershock. So my goodness, don't do it again. So let me make you feel so bad that you don't think about doing it again. Let me make you feel so bad that you don't eat that cinnamon bun again, or you don't eat that ice cream again. Let me make you feel so bad that you don't reach out and ask for something again. Let me make you feel so bad that you hide from others so that you reduce the ability to connect and you don't put yourself out there to be hurt again. So it's really doing something to protect you. We have to see it in that way. So, how does it show up in real life? Because shame is uncomfortable, right? And it's deeply personal. The spiral often shows up in hidden everyday behaviors. You might notice it in moments like deleting a message. So, instead of responding because you're convinced you said the wrong thing, you delete a message, you don't respond. You might notice it in over-apologizing or over-explaining after a minor misunderstanding. You might notice it in overworking, working late to prove your value, even when no one has asked you to. You might notice it in moments like avoiding people or opportunities because you're sure you'll mess it up. You might notice it in going numb. So, using food to go numb, to numb out. You might notice it in scrolling on your phone or just zoning out and looking out the window. You might notice it in overdoing for others because you feel inadequate in another part of your life. I can absolutely re relate to this. I feel like I did this for years, and I've only now kind of come back to some balance with respect to that. I think we all do it in some way. And none of these responses are random. They're protective. Your body and your brain doing exactly what they were conditioned to do. Manage discomfort, avoid further rejection, and try to stay safe. These are learned responses, but because they are protective. But over time, they don't actually protect you from shame. They deepen it. I was just talking with a client the other day, and she was mentioning how much she was in this shame spiral around something that had happened with her food. And so I said, "Would you let me in? Would you talk about it with me? Because I know it's deeply personal." And she did, and we started to talk about it. And she said, "You know, as soon as I started to talk about it, I felt just a little bit better. And now, as we're talking about it further, I do feel better." And the truth is, that's the truth. If we let it out of the box, so to speak, the cat out of the bag, and we start to hear ourselves say things, we recognize that it's not really real. Like food in the moment, it feels good, but in the short term, it feels bad, which deepens and aligns with the negative around you and around your feelings about yourself. That's what happens in shame. In the moment, shame feels good, so to speak, because we're used to it. It boom, 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 it happens. It feels like home, so to speak. In the short term, though, it feels bad. We know that, right? But it deepens and aligns with the negative thoughts and feelings about yourself. Many people think that when the spiral ends, once the spiral ends once the uncomfortable moment passes, but often that's just the beginning. What follows then is the coping response. What you do to avoid the feeling, the intensity of the shame. What do you do? So it might look like reaching out for food, alcohol, your phone, or maybe another outlet. Overcommitting or rushing into productivity. So I'm not going to feel that. I'm just going to work, 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 work. Mentally replaying the situation to try to control the narrative, or withdrawing or numbing through other distractive mechanisms. And at first, these responses offer some relief, but eventually they tend to lead to more shame. Why can't I stop doing this? Why do I want to keep working? What's wrong with me? Do I have a problem that I can't connect with other people, or that I just want to work all the time, or that I just want to eat? What's wrong with me? Because I just want to eat. This is then how the spiral becomes self-reinforcing. Shame triggers coping, coping triggers more shame. The cycle deepens, and here we go further down the rabbit hole. But once you see the loop for what it is, a nervous system pattern, a language pattern, and an emotional pattern, it is not a personal flaw. You then can create the possibility of stepping out of it. We know what we know, and in that, we absolutely know that we can break patterns, alter them, and change them. And so, what we can do when we're in the shame spiral, two things. I've just taught you about the cycle, right? So, there's two things you can do. One is get out a piece of paper. When you know you're caught in it, get out a piece of paper. Identify what the trigger was, what the story is, and you have to write it down. This can't be in the mind. And I talk to clients about this all the time. I present on this all the time. It can't be in the mind, because the mind will take you places that you don't want to go. So what you really want to do is write it down. Get really cognitive. That brings you out of emotion. It puts you in cognitive thought pattern, which is really where you want to go, because shame resides in the midbrain and the back brain. So we want to write it down. What was the trigger? What was the story? What's the reaction? What's the trigger? What's the story? What's your reaction that you want to do? What do you want to do? Do you want to numb? Do you want to eat more? Do you want to overfunction? Do you want to go to work? Do you want to withdraw? Do you want to isolate? Do you not want to talk to anybody? So write it down so you could actually see it, just like you would planning a trip, just like you would for a project at work. Write it down so you could see it. Now, that's one. Two, do what shame doesn't want you to do. Shame wants you to move. Your shame wants you to move into certain patterns, whether that wants you to numb, withdraw, isolate. So do the opposite, right? When it wants you to numb, stay in the feeling. And listen, hey, I know that's hard. Who the heck wants to stay in a bad feeling? I do not want to raise my hand for that. But the truth is, the bad feeling will subside. That shame will subside, especially if you don't stay in the behavior. And so stay in the feeling instead of the numbing, distraction, or coping. Stay in that feeling to move away from it, because you'll eventually go through the mountain, so to speak, of shame and onto the other side. That shame will dissipate if you stay in it. If you numb, distract, overdo, overwork, overproduce, it stays stuck. Here you actually have a pivot to move through it. So that's one thing. Actually, two things you can do, right? Write it down and then try to stay in it. Three is, again, doing what is against shame or what shame doesn't want you to do, right? So stay in the feeling instead of in a behavior. And then two, don't isolate. Talk to someone who's trusted. And if you don't have anyone to talk to because it's too early in the morning or the middle of the night or too late at night, then use your audio on your phone. And if you can get that to a trusted person, do. Say it out loud what's happening. Name it, claim it, say it, and put it out there. If it's during the day, reach out to a friend, trusted friend. Be each other's shame support system. We all go through this. And like what happened with my client the other day, as we opened up that shame box and we went through it, she really recognized that it wasn't as bad as she thought. As we reframed it, we looked at it as a protective mechanism, we talked through it. She understood completely and effortlessly what that was like for her, why it was there. And she realized it wasn't as bad as she thought. Again, once you see that loop for what it is, nervous system pattern, language pattern, it's just a pattern, emotional pattern. You create the possibility of stepping out of it. We know what we know. And in that, we absolutely know that we can break patterns, alter them, and change them. And you can do this with shame around food, around life, around weight, around your body. In every way, we can break out of the shame cycle. Dr. Carl Jung said, shame is a soul-eating emotion. Don't let shame eat your soul. Use these tips and techniques to help you keep your soul safe from shame. Thank you so much for joining me. We are uploading some new things to www.wendyfrances.com. We are inundating with some new evidence, new things on there. So please take a look at that, www.wendyfrances.com. We've got some supplements up there for you. I'm going to continue to bring you some new things as we move through the last quarter of 2025. Thank you again so much for listening.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.